The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essan.
And Doreen Ampofo.
In the headlines, ECOWAS Monetary Cooperation Task Force presents recommendations to President Mahama in Accra. President Paul Kagame of Rwanda joins President Mahama to celebrate renowned playwright Wole Soyinka's birthday in Accra. Government reacts to UTAG's threat to strike and says it owes lecturers no allowances. Government troops retake presidential compound in Somalia after Al-Shabaab skirmishes. Public sector workers in Greece protest government's austerity measures, which include 40% pay cuts. Brazil suffer heaviest defeat in World Cup history, losing 1-7 to Germany in first semi-final match of tournament. Meanwhile, supporters' unions in Ghana refute claims of poor treatment in Brazil.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news in detail. Vice President Kwesi Mesafa has charged the ECOWAS Monetary Cooperation Task Force, the team working on the common currency ECO, to work assiduously to meet the 2020 deadline. President John Mahama and his Niger counterpart Mamadou Issoufou were appointed at the extraordinary summit of ECOWAS last year in Dakar to oversee the creation of the common currency in a timely manner. The task force, made up of ECOWAS ministers of finance, governors and deputy governors of central banks, were at the Flagstaff House to present their recommendations. Pascalina Dalebo reports.
The Presidential Task Force on ECOWAS Monetary Cooperation consists of representatives of President John Mahama and Mahamadou Issoufou of Niger, finance ministers of Ghana and Niger, governors of the 8 central banks of ECOWAS member states, ECOWAS Commission, and the West African Monetary Agency. The task force is to work towards the realization of the proposed common currency for ECOWAS ECO by 2020. From now to 2020, member states are expected to meet some convergence criteria. Ghana has achieved the 4 primary criteria that qualifies it to use the single currency ECO. This is the second meeting of the task force this year to review the macroeconomic convergence criteria and revision of the roadmap on the ECOWAS single currency program. Led by Minister of Finance Seth Tekpe, the task force presented undisclosed recommendations to Vice President Kwesi Mesafa. The Vice President tasked the team to respect the 2020 deadline to see the realization of the common currency.
We should not exceed the mandate that the authority had given us, that the full union would be in 2020. And I know that we agreed on that. So I see that WAMI and WAMA are also here. And I know that we have the technical expertise within these two agencies to be able to work and achieve the 2020 target.
Vice President Kwesi Mesafa.
Rwandan President Paul Kagame says Africa needs confident leadership and stable governance systems that serve its citizens in order to shape the future the continent desires. According to him, the success of the continent will depend on Africans finding their own solutions to problems. President Kagame was the guest speaker at the 80th birthday and book launch of Nigerian playwright and poet Wole Soyinka at the State Banquet Hall in Accra. President John Mahama was the special guest of honor. Former President John Adekunle Akufo-Addo, renowned African writers and former governors of Nigerian states graced the occasion. Another report by Pascaline Adadivo.
The greatest threat to freedom is the absence of criticism. This is one of many quotes of writer par excellence, Professor Wole Soyinka. Distinguished guests from around the world joined in celebrating 80 years of existence of the hale and hearty Wole Soyinka. Wole Soyinka is the first African to win a Nobel Prize in Literature. He is a professor of arts and has written poems and books against oppression, military dictatorship, and political tyrannies. At 80, Wole Soyinka has about 83 books to his credit. Professor Wole Soyinka probably chose Rwandan President Paul Kagame to be the guest speaker at his birthday party because they share common ideologies. Paul Kagame, as a young boy, fought in a rebel army to defend fundamental human rights. President Kagame described Professor Wole Soyinka as a tireless fighter who just wants to see the liberation of humanity from oppression. He said Rwanda refuses to accept a fate of hopelessness, and as president, he has prioritized national development. President Kagame said Africa must recognize that vision and goals can only be met collectively and not individually. He paid tribute to Brigadier General Henry Anyidoho, who led a Ghanaian contingent to Rwanda on the heights of the genocide in 1994.
Africa needs at all levels a confident leadership based on clarity, innovation and accountability. It is important to have stable governance institutions and systems which serve our citizens effectively.
President John Mahama has recently joined the literary family. He admitted how Herculean writing intelligence pieces can be, saluting his senior colleague Professor Wole Soyinka. He said astute writers like him, Chinua Achebe, Ngugi Wa Thiong'o and others, have gone a long way to shape Africa's history and are still relevant today.
Their own works remain forever, and in that sense, they never die. And so I dare say, paraphrasing, that Professor Soyinka will never die. Long after you have passed and become one of our ancestors, our children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren will continue to read your works with pride and marvel at the richness of the writers that once strode the African continent.
The celebrant Professor Wole Soyinka engaged his guests in an interesting yet thought-provoking chit-chat. He said there is hope for the transformation of society only if African leaders begin to look at critical and innovative ways of dealing with issues of humanity. Citing the abduction of the 200 schoolgirls in Chibok, northern Nigeria, Professor Soyinka is amazed at how leisurely the issue is being handled.
We know very well that the victims are being dehumanized every day. And we're demanding action, not only from our own community, an intelligent approach to the situation. And then what we hear is, well, maybe, oh, it's all right. And we even hear things like, it's the season of Ramadan. Maybe Allah will touch their minds and they will release those children. These are the kind of people I'm talking about. This is the kind of society. I would rather confront directly the abductors than have to deal with. You cannot pretend that your humanity has not been assaulted. And up to now, we sit on our hands and hope for the best. You call for dialogue, you don't even know how to begin dialogue. You call for appeasement tactics, and you don't even begin the appeasement tactics.
His birthday was also used to launch a new book, Crucible of the Ages.
The report was filed by Pascaline Adadevo.
The executive director of Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim, is calling for efficient regulations and institutions to check acts of corruption in the country. Also, citizens must be bold enough to condemn acts of corruption and applaud those who dare to speak out. Mr. Azim was addressing the 8th West Africa Leadership Conference in Accra. He said a non-partisan approach is needed to tackle issues of corruption as well as hold leaders accountable. We bring you a report by Antoinette Abba and Elizabeth Lamte.
Delivering a paper on how to build a corruption-free institution, Mr. Azim said institutions must put in place a national anti-corruption policies, strengthen the capacity of the judiciary, as well as promote integrity of both the public and the private sector in the fight against corruption. He said weak institutions promote corruption. Mr. Azim noted that there must be a fair and open system where competent people are recruited and those who do wrong are punished to serve as a deterrent to others. Thus, he said, will attract investors into the country. Mr. Azim added that the situation where politicians on campaign platforms promise to clean the system but do nothing when they win power is unfortunate. He said until they keep to their words and do as promised, citizens will lose trust in them.
The state of leaders to tackle corruption can become a service with this finance. When people no longer take commitment to them, because every day they are coming to tell them things. We judge them, even if they are coming to stop corruption. That's how we are taking over power. After 3 years, they become worse than the civilians and the people of the power. Why elections are often won or lost on the corruption issue? Every politician at the national level is talking about when I win power, this is what I'm going to do about corruption. The technocrats, it's not only the politicians, the technocrats also take advantage and continue to corner the state of limited resources. This has been a common feature in Ghana's political history, where the military state power by force of arms slowly erected corruption only to abandon that time.
The West Africa Coordinator of Global Leadership Training, Reverend Dr. Stephen Wingham, said corruption robs society of resources for development, thus further worsening the plight of the poor. He said leadership should sit up and fight corruption to be able to fix the economy.
The need for leaders to be righteous. Righteous means they should resist corruption and they should pursue the interests of the people. So there's hope for this country. We shouldn't be despondent. What we are going through is part of national development. The West went through the same thing. Economic crisis is normal. Every country along the line, even America, are going through serious economic crisis. So we shouldn't be despondent.
The five-day conference brings together civil society organizations, religious groups, and political leaders from Ghana, Togo, Benin, and Cote d'Ivoire. Its focus is to train leaders to become trustworthy leaders and people of integrity who will go the extra mile to turn around the fortunes of the sub-region.
Antoinette Abar and Elizabeth Lamte filed that report.
And government says despite economic challenges, significant progress has been made in many sectors. One of such is the education sector. Speaking at the Meet the Press series in Accra, the Deputy Minister of Information, Felix Kwachefusi, said government over the past 4 years has distributed more than 100 million exercise books to basic school pupils under the free exercise book intervention. Also, 12.5 million mathematics, science and English core textbooks have been distributed. This, Mr. Kwachefusi said, has made the country exceed the universal textbook to pupil ratio of 3 textbooks per pupil. He noted that formerly the textbook to pupil ratio stood at 1 textbook to 3 pupils.
At the basic level alone, enrollment has increased by 829,625 in the last 4 years, owing largely to the underlisted interventions aimed at guaranteeing access to education for all our children. A total of 2,064 basic school projects have been under construction since the period under review. 432 of these were funded from regular Government of Ghana sources. The remaining 1,632 are being funded by GESFAT. More than half of these projects have been completed and handed over to the education authorities. Over 100 million exercise books have been distributed since the NDC government started the free exercise book intervention. In 2013 alone, some 32 million exercise books were distributed to 4,768,806 basic school children across the country. This year, 10 million of these exercise books will be distributed. Last year, 170,221 school children were supplied with free school uniforms. Another 10,000 of these uniforms will be distributed this year. Again, 12.5 million English, mathematics and science core textbooks were distributed last year in public, primary and junior high schools across the country. This has enabled Ghana to exceed the universal textbook to pupil ratio of 3 textbooks per pupil. Currently, Ghana's textbook to pupil ratio stands at 4 textbooks per pupil, exceeding the target. Before this feat, the ratio stood at 1 textbook to 3 pupils. An amount of 24,472,840 Ghana cedis was paid in capitation grants to cover some 5,741,198 school children, representing 30% of basic school pupils in the country.
That was Deputy Minister of Information, Felix Kwachefusi.
Meanwhile, Deputy Minister of Education Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa says the government does not owe salaries and allowances of lecturers, and as a result, the threatened strike by the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, is unfortunate. He said the book and research allowance is not outstanding, since the standard practice is that payment is made in September. Mr. Okudzeto Ablakwa was reacting to a question about the proposed strike by UTAG at a news conference in Accra. Joyce Jeche reports.
The press conference addressed development in education from the basic to tertiary level. This included the number of schools constructed under this government and the provision of learning materials as well. Deputy Minister of Education Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa gave this explanation regarding the UTAG proposed strike over research and book allowance.
Government of Ghana does not owe salaries, does not owe allowances of lectures. The book and research allowance is paid once a year at the end of the academic year. Last year, for the 2012-2013 academic year, the book and research allowance was paid in September. So the standard practice has been that the book and research allowance is paid either in August or September. There have been years that it has been paid in October. So the question to ask is that, is it fair that you are receiving your salaries every month? The book and research allowance payment is not outstanding. We are not there yet.
He said a reform to book and research allowance was proposed, saying that the old regime does not augur well for research.
We have noticed that the old regime or the existing regime does not portend well for research. We spread the money thin to everybody, lecturers, non-academic staff, everybody is taking book and research allowance. And many lecturers who are interested in research have complained that the money has become so paltry because of the way we do it. And what happens everywhere in the world is that there's a research fund. You submit your research proposal, you attach your budget, and you can get good money for research. The unions have welcomed this reform, saying that it is good. The bone of contention is that they want us to still keep the book and research allowance and then look for money elsewhere to populate the National Research Fund.
He said a special committee set up by the president to see to the conversion of all polytechnics to technical universities has completed its work.
As I speak to you, the Dr. George Afeti committee has completed its work. They have submitted a report to my boss, Professor Nana Jenupokuagino, and we are preparing a cabinet memo. And soon, President Mahama will be announcing the roadmap that will see all 10 polytechnics converted into technical universities.
A Deputy Minister of Information, Samuel Kwachiofosu, said with effect from February next year, BECE candidates who failed to make the required grades into senior secondary schools can rewrite their examination.
Joyce Jeche with our report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: ECOWAS Managing Cooperation Task Force presents recommendations to President Mahama in Accra. President Paul Kagame of Rwanda joins President Mahama to celebrate renowned playwright Wole Soyinka's birthday in Accra. Government reacts to UTAG's threat to strike and says it owes lecturers no allowances. Government troops retake presidential compound in Somalia after Al-Shabaab skirmishes. Public sector workers in Greece protest government's austerity measures, which include 40% pay cuts. Brazil suffers heaviest defeat in World Cup history, losing 1-7 to Germany in first semi-final match of ongoing tournament. Meanwhile, supporters, unions in Ghana refute claims of poor treatment in Brazil. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. The Ministry of Health has directed the Acting Chief Executive Office of the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, Reverend Albert Butri, to hand over to the board chairman of the hospital. He is also to hand over all Kolebu properties in his possession and provide a comprehensive handing over note to the board chairman with copies to the Minister of Health and to the incoming chief administrator. A statement said the acting medical director of the hospital, Dr. Samuel Isiama, is to act as the chief administrator.
Somali troops have retaken the presidential palace in the capital Mogadishu after Al-Shabaab fighters forced their way in and exchanged heavy gunfire with soldiers and guards. A senior police official, Captain Mohamed Hussein, said President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud was not inside the palace at the time of the attack, but the Prime Minister and the Speaker of Parliament were. The presidency said both President Mahmoud and Prime Minister Abdiweli Sheikh Ahmed are safe.
About 190 million registered voters have begun casting ballots to elect the president of Indonesia. They are choosing between Joko Widodo, the governor of Jakarta, and Prabowo Subianto, a former army general. Opinion polls so far suggest it will be a very tight race. Mr. Widodo, also known as Jokowi, appeared to be leading in opinion polls early on, but that margin narrowed as Mr. Subianto gained ground.
Syria's Western-backed opposition National Coalition has elected the chief negotiator at the Geneva peace talks, Hadi al-Bakhra, as its new president following a three-day meeting in Istanbul. Al-Bakhra, a U.S.-trained industrial engineer, replaces Ahmed Jaber, who has served the maximum 2 6-month terms.
Public sector workers in Greece have begun a 24-hour strike in protest against continuing cuts in government spending. Hospitals, tax offices, prisons and archaeological sites are expected to be disrupted by the action. The workers are protesting against austerity measures, including a 40% reduction in salaries and pensions. The strike coincides with a visit from Greece's international creditors to check on the country's progress.
Police in India say they will seek permission to take the bodies of two teenage cousins who were gang-raped and murdered in May for fresh autopsy. Reports say the girls belonged to a low caste and were found hanged on a tree in Uttar Pradesh state in a case that caused global outrage. The father of one of the victims alleged that he was ridiculed by the police when he sought help in finding his daughter. The case, which was initially investigated by the state police, was later handed over to the federal police.
In football, Brazil's World Cup dreams ended in a humiliation and demeaning fashion as Germany inflicted the heaviest World Cup semi-final defeat in the history of the tournament on the host in Belo Horizonte. Thomas Müller gave outstanding Germany an early lead. 36-year-old Lazio striker Miroslav Klose netted the second goal to put his country up 2-0 as he opened up a 5-0 half-time lead. Chelsea striker Andre Schürrle on as a substitute added two more after the break to end the host nation's dreams of qualifying to the grand finale. Brazilian coach Luis Felipe Scolari described it as the worst day of his life, saying he takes responsibility. We bring the reactions of some Brazilians after the humiliating defeat.
I think it's really sad in the end to end the competition, to end the championship with this kind of negative results.
For Brazil, for the Brazilian people, no, it's very embarrassing.
Some supporters also spoke about the performance of the Brazilian team.
I think no one expected whatever happens in this game, okay? Whoever comes now, Argentina or Netherlands, I think Argentina should come into the final now so we can win against Argentina and actually please the Brazilian.
The Brazilians were under shock, I found, and we just exploited with a very disciplined, you would call it Germanic approach. We were basically tearing them apart, not to be arrogant, but I haven't seen anything. I've been traveling the world in the last 25 years. I've never seen anything like it.
The game with the best score was against us. I'm ashamed of Brazil. The Germans, they are what they are. They beat us. They smash us. They're not just beat us. They smash us.
Everyone was like, they knew what to do. We could notice that in the players, and this defense was all the players were like just staring at each other and what's going on, and then it just kept on going, and we're like, please, Germany, have mercy on us.
You heard some fans on Brazil's humiliating defeat to Germany. Meanwhile, tonight, Holland will meet Argentina in another semi-final match to see who wins to meet Germany on Sunday.
Still on football, the supporters' unions are calling for calm among Ghanaian football fans following the early exit of the Black Stars from the World Cup in Brazil. At a news conference in Accra, a leading member of the supporters' union, Mohamed Mubarak, said Brazil is history and the nation must now rally behind the teams as it prepares for the qualifying series for next year's African Cup of Nations. He said there was a clear commitment on the part of everyone to see the team succeed, but luck was not on their side. But they were quick to add that Black Stars were not alone in that situation, as similar fate befell defending champions Spain, Italy and England. The supporters also refuted claims that they were not properly treated in Brazil. According to them, they were well catered for.
It's our contention that rather than the blame game that is going on in the media, sometimes characterized by language that is usually not Ghanaian, we appeal for calm and call for a national introspection that will scientifically analyze what went wrong with the hope of remedying it or finding solutions. It is our contention that nobody, the Minister of Youth and Sport, the FA officials, sponsors, the footballers, supporters and Ghanaians wish that the Black Stars should fail. No, we saw the spirited commitment of the Minister to solve every problem. We saw the commitment of the Black Stars to reverse their 2-1 defeat to the USA by trying to beat Germany. We were also aware of commitments of government back at home to ensure that the Black Stars met our aspirations. We should be reminded that the qualification series of the AFCONs is just around the corner, and we as a country should quickly put this disappointment, though painful, behind us and move on. I think with the issue of the supporters, as in our accommodation, food, everything went well, and then the issues that we had was something to do with our movement from the hotel to town, and if you like, sometimes to watch, some of them were not met. Apart from that, seriously speaking, we had a good accommodation. There was food there. Caterers were brought all the way from Ghana to come and cook for the good people of Ghana who were there to cheer the Black Stars up. And then we appreciate that. First of all, we want to thank government for their commitment to improving the supporters union to support Ghana at all times in every tournament. We're so grateful.
You heard a spokesperson of the supporters union, Mohamed Mubarak.
To end the news, the main points again. The ECOWAS Monetary Cooperation Task Force has presented its recommendations to President Mahama in Accra. The president and his Niger counterpart, Mahamudu Issoufou, were appointed at the extraordinary summit of ECOWAS last year in Dakar to oversee the creation of the common currency in a timely manner. Government says it does not owe salaries and allowances of UTAG members. Deputy Minister of Education Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, reacting to questions about the proposed strike by UTAG at a news conference in Accra, said the book and research allowance is not outstanding. Public sector workers in Greece have begun a 24-hour strike in protest against continuing cuts in government spending. And Brazil's World Cup dreams ended in a humiliating and demeaning fashion as Germany inflicted the heaviest World Cup semi-final defeat in the history of the tournament on the host in Belo Horizonte. They were beaten 7-1. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofo
and Samuel Essa in Accra.